Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, would you look at this? It's Monday night, no Triple J, but boy, I think we found a suitable replacement. I'm Justin Labar coming to you live here on our Wrestling Inc. post-Raw podcast. I hope you're joining us live. If not, appreciate you watching or listening later on in the archive. Being joined by one of the other Jays coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, former WWE ref of over 20-plus years. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jimmy Corderas. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ian. We'll talk about it, but interesting show tonight. Let's put it that way.
Very interesting. No reason for you to stop the podcast now. We have plenty to talk about. We promise you it won't disappoint. And our third man tonight, not Jack Farmer. Jack, not with us here tonight, but we are bringing in the founder of Wrestling Inc., the one, the only, Mr. Raj Giri. Raj, it's been a while since we've shared a microphone together.
Yeah, it has been a while. And I do have a J in my name, so... Kind of Triple J, not really, but
let's close. How about this? How about this? Double JR, double JR,
JJR, R, yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
I think we might owe old Boomer Sooner some royalties if we want to run on the JR platform.
Right.
Should be a good one here tonight. Again, appreciate everybody who is in the live chat. If you ever want to be part of a wrestling community live, interactive, something beyond, you know, your typical Twitter norm, our link is usually out several hours before this podcast starts here on YouTube and on Twitch. And there's a great community that's on the chat here that's always kind of watching, doing a watch along, essentially waiting for us to go live. So please check out the podcast here live if you ever get a chance. If not, podcast after the fact, however it may be, whether you're checking out the video, whether you opt to just hear us, not see us, sometimes I can't blame you. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, please, 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 5-star rating is very much appreciated. We've got more and more of them coming in. Jack's really good about reading them off every Monday. I don't have any prepared for you tonight, but I'm sure Jack will get back to reading them more next week. But 5-star reviews, greatly appreciated as we are trying to continue to grow this podcast and have a big 2023. And the more feedback and engagement we get from you, the better. Live chats, I already see some super chats. We will get to you when it is appropriate for your topic at hand. But gentlemen, let's get into some news items first that you can find on WrestlingInc.com. Let's start with some numbers from last Friday. Of course, SmackDown and Rampage every single Friday night. Let's start with SmackDown. And the show was watched by 2.3 million average million viewers. That is down about 6% from the previous week, but the previous week did a monster number. So 2.3 million, still pretty good. Key demo was also down. It did a 10% drop from the week before, which was the go home to Royal Rumble. But then you have Rampage. Rampage really saw a drop last Friday. They were 406,000 average viewers. That's down 11% from the week prior. And their demo, their key demos continues to slide. It came in about 149,000 viewers in that 18 to 49, which is about down from 20% from the week prior. A lot of numbers, Raj. I always let you crunch numbers. I know you track ratings pretty diligently. What do you make of SmackDown? Slight drop from the week prior. Rampage, big drop.
So SmackDown, it was 2.3. What was 2.3 what?
2.3 million was the average viewers, which was down 6% from the go home show the week prior.
Okay. Was it 2.3 something?
2.384.
Okay. So that would be the one of the biggest audiences they've had for the show in years, you know, outside of last week and the Cena episode. The Cena episode did 2.6, last week did 2.54. So, you know, just really strong numbers. I mean, they're on a roll right now. Rampage, you know, 0.11. I believe that, let me double check here, but I think it's basically tied for the second lowest demo rating that they've had for the show. And that's of any time slot. They did a 0.08 one time. Bad rating for Rampage. Good stuff. You know, good stuff with SmackDown. They're really on a roll right now. And I don't know. They just seem to be firing on all cylinders. And I felt like that with Raw tonight. It just felt like they're really on a roll right now.
Yeah, Jimmy. I tend to agree with SmackDown. I mean, a lot of rich stories going on, and you know, still 2.384 million for the first Friday of February. That's a pretty strong showing.
It absolutely is, and I think it speaks volumes, like you said, that people are getting invested in the stories. And the big story, of course, is the Bloodline storyline and Sami Zayn, and also the question mark curiosity factor with Jey Uso. What's going on there? I think that's got people drawn in, and sometimes we forget that these are the things that tend to draw bigger audiences in. Yes, there's a core audience that just loves to sit down and watch the action in the ring and watch matches. But at the same time, as we were talking before we went on the air, as much as people don't like to hear this phrase, it is weekly episodic television. And you want people to go, I wonder what's going to happen next, and tune in again. And that seems to be what's going on, especially with this Bloodline storyline.
Mm-hmm. Raj, I never, other than the probably one of the early stuff with CM Punk, I never watch Rampage live. I just don't. I don't know. I rarely watch SmackDown live just because I'm not podcasting after. So it's just I just it's something to look forward to in the DVR. With Rampage, is it going to take it moving into an earlier time slot? Is it going to take it being live? What is it going to take to get it? Because I mean, they're putting more names. They're putting more AEW credible names on Rampage, but it's still sliding down for the most part.
Well, what happens a lot of times is that they'll put, you know, a Jon Moxley or someone like that on the show for a couple weeks. They see a little bump and they see an increase, and then they go back to what they were doing. And you know what? This last Friday, they had the Elite, you know, their first trios match in weeks and weeks. So it's just, you know, once you have it in your head that it's a B show, it's hard to overcome that. And once you see a show as skippable, it's hard to, you know, for it to become a priority viewing again. And I feel like that's kind of where Rampage is right now. It just feels like it's an afterthought. You know, it's something, if you happen to be in that night, it's something that's on, but it's not something you need to watch. You're not missing out on the major AEW storylines if you skip Rampage.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. It is hard to overcome forever being. I mean, they'd have to have some major angles and major title changes, something that would they'd have to have a string of them, I think, at this point on Rampage to at all change the perception in any kind of expedited fashion. So that's the numbers. Well, maybe this will help get Rampage up. And that's the booking on the Jericho Cruise. That's right. Chris Jericho's Rockin' Rager, Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea Cruise. it was just wrapped up, I believe. And one of the things that certainly caught social media's attention was a moment where we got Danhausen and Jerichohausen, and they Jericho dressed like Danhausen, face paint, cape and all, and a great some great viral clips and pictures going around of them locking in the walls of Jericho on Austin and Colton Dunn. Rajhausen, does this get your attention?
Of course, that's all I could think about. No, I mean, you know, I'm an older gent, so the Danhausen stuff isn't necessarily my cup of tea, but it does work for people out there. And, you know, it's one of those things. Wrestling is one of those variety shows that not everything has to blend into my tastes. And yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of fans really enjoy that stuff. So good for them.
See, I thought, you know, I know you hate when actual magic is attempted by wrestlers. You know, Danhausen, really, he hasn't fully proved his cursing magic. I thought you would have said this is like, this is the savior. This is the answer to the magic wrestlers.
Yeah. No, I definitely don't think that. It's one of those things when he's on TV, I'm just like, you know, it's not my cup of tea.
Jimmy, I'd like to see you in this face, but I want to see Corderis on him.
Oh, I don't know about that. I kind of agree with Raj. It's not my wheelhouse. It's different when it's somebody like a Bray Wyatt. It's presented differently. You know, Undertaker obviously had that aura about him, but again, presented in a different fashion. This just feels kind of, yes, we know the world of WWE, WWF at the time was considered a little cartoonish. I guess you can say the same here, but as far as them tagging and Jericho dressing like Danhausen in the on the Jericho Cruise, maybe it was him just throwing out a feeler, or him just having his fun. It's his cruise; he can do whatever he wants. Yeah. He's booking the thing. It's Jericho having fun.
Yeah, I mean he's a heel, so it doesn't really fit for him to for that to translate over to AEW TV, especially when he's in the storyline with Ricky Starks. So. Right. Just seemed like something fun for the crews, and yeah, you know, the fans really seem to get a kick out of it, so it worked.
It's his boat, he can book it the way he wants.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Take that. All right, well, those are two fun news items to touch on, numbers and again, Jericho and Danhausen. Plenty more news headlines over on WrestlingInc.com, so be sure you are bookmarking it, favorite in whatever you do, and check back early and often. All right, let's jump in to Monday Night Raw tonight. It's crazy to think we only have this Raw and I believe one more before we have Elimination Chamber. And Elimination Chamber, we'll tell you this, we'll tease this for the rest of this podcast. This Elimination Chamber card is getting stacked, pretty stacked when you put it in perspective that it's 6 weeks prior to WrestleMania. So a lot that we're going to jump into, starting with Edge and Beth Phoenix coming to the ring. Big ovation for them. Quick little video package showing the history with them in Judgment Day, most recently back at Extreme Rules. Then the Judgment Day comes out. It is noted that there is no Rhea Ripley. She's out promoting WrestleMania. She's out traveling as Dom gives Mommy's excuse. And we get a challenge. We get a challenge from Edge and Beth. They challenge Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley to a mixed tag match at Elimination Chamber. Looks like that's going to happen. And just as it looks like we're going to see Edge and Beth be outnumbered by the three Judgment Day members, here comes Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford out to even up the odds. Beth hits her finisher on Dominic Mysterio, who his facial expressions and selling just gold on this, Jimmy. And look, Jimmy, this is something that you could make an argument of, given the year-long history of Edge and Judgment Day and what have you. You can make an argument that this is Mania worthy. Obviously, Rhea's got her singles title match, so that's not going to. Or you could say this happens on one night of Mania, and this mix, and then Rhea's singles matches on the other night. But no, they are putting this in Montreal on the Elimination Chamber card. Your thoughts going in to this payoff match?
No, it's a heck of a payoff match, and I think it's a good idea to put it in Montreal, because you're going to get a hell of a reaction for Edge and Beth in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and you know, for the home country team. Even though Beth is technically from the other side of the border, Buffalo, New York, which is right across the bridge. But hey, you know what? She's adopted Canadian. We've accepted her as one of our own, and I like it. I really like it. There is a story behind it. I'm invested in this. And the crowd is invested because they want to see retribution by Edge and Beth. And the one thing I did like about Edge's promo is he kind of taking credit for Judgment Day and their success, despite the fact that they kind of ousted him out of the group. But he still claims responsibility for making them what they are today.
Yeah, and no worry with Buffalo. But Buffalo is basically just a southern suburb of Toronto.
Yeah,
I've been to Buffalo. You get Toronto TV, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Raj, big match for this at Elimination Chamber, and then I followed it up with: is Edge going to be part of WrestleMania, and who does he work?
Yeah, so I think this fits better for Elimination Chamber than WrestleMania because, you know, the novelty of Edge and Beth Phoenix. We saw it last year when they teamed up against Miz and Maurice at the Royal Rumble last year. So. Mm-hmm. It's not quite that special attraction like it might have been a year ago. So I like it here at Elimination Chamber, like Jimmy said. In Montreal, Edge is going to get a huge reaction. I think it'd be ideal to see, Rhea go over in this match. I think Edge and Beth Phoenix losing this time, it would be something unexpected. And Rhea, you know, she's on a roll right now. So having her pin Beth Phoenix, I think would be the way to go. And as far as Edge, you know, they were talking about Edge versus Finn Balor in a Hell in a Cell match at Royal Rumble that obviously didn't happen. So you could still go in that route for WrestleMania. And I think if you're really looking to stack the card, Edge and Finn Balor in a Hell in a Cell, that's a big deal. That's a huge match.
Yeah, again, two nights of Mania. So
or Damian Priest.
I was going to say, I'd actually want to go Priest, quite honestly. I would like to, Priest doesn't walk out as United States champion from the chamber. I'd kind of like to see if Finn's going to get the rub being in this mixed tag here. You know, let's also get it to Priest. I think we all agree Dom's probably going to be penciled in with his dad. So,
right.
Yeah.
And Dom was gold again tonight, I thought. He's so good in this role. He kills me.
It's amazing seeing him from when I remember him as this little kid. He used to run around the ring before shows, before TV and stuff like that, turning into what he has become. It just, he grows and grows every week. It's just incredible.
Yeah, he's great. And he's just low key, just so hilarious that he's must see when he's on now.
Yeah.
He really is. And it's like, who would have thought just something so stupid of, he's going to do Hard Time for the domestic. And they just ran with it. I mean, and Corey Graves in commentary does a great job elevating it, but they've just really ran with this. I think Edge making the comment about dropping pants. They just have something every week. They have a new bullet every week to fire at him. And he gets such heat. And the crowd just eats up any this. Maybe he might be one of the low-key, Raj, best stories in WWE, like since the empty arena, because he's there tagging with his dad. They're being tag champions. They're in the empty arena, COVID time, you know, already hard enough to be a young kid in his situation, not having a live crowd, and just kind of being Rey Mysterio 2.0. And he's completely developed into something on his own to where, yeah, he's going to have a payoff match with his dad, but he's got plenty to run with without the Mysterio name.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And it's, you know, when he came out at the Royal Rumble, he's just getting a ton of heat, and I'm assuming he beats Ray at Mania. And I think when that happens, it's going to get a huge reaction. So I think they're, Triple H, I got to say, with this era, there's the storytelling has just been, really, really good. They're not even stuff that doesn't click. At least they're letting it finish, like Dexter Lumis and The Miz. It might not have been the best storyline, but at least they didn't just drop it if it wasn't working. They at least, had a start, a middle, and an end, and they saw through it. So I think, the storytelling has just been fantastic. And I think Dominic it's funny how much a heel turn can just change your career. Whether it was, Roman, it was still a main event guy, but once he turned heel, he just went to a different level. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, no, and there's definitely been a tone of consistency under the Triple H booking, for better or for worse on some stories, but it's been consistent, and you do see it through, and they're real good, little Easter eggs and such. So, Judgment Day, once again, even without Rhea, who I argue is the biggest star out of the group, even without her, Judgment Day making their presence known, and they're going to continue such. As we said, Angela Dawkins helped come out to even up the odds, and that segued right into the Elimination Chamber qualifying match. Dawkins versus Damian Priest. Of course, winner gets into this chamber match that is for the United States title. Dawkins, it's a swanton bomb. I don't know if I've ever seen him hit that, but that is not the finish, though. A kick out there. Ultimately, though, Priest is actually going to get his chokeslam, his South of Heaven chokeslam done, and that's going to get the pin on Dawkins. So 1, 2, 3, Priest earns his way into the chamber, and Jimmy, it was done clean. There was no low blow. There was no ref distraction, I believe. It was just they had some couple hard-hitting blows that led into in the sequence that led into it, and Priest got the chokeslam finish clean, which I thought was a pretty big deal on Angelo Dawkins, who, you know, the Street Profits continue to rise their stock up.
Absolutely, and Angelo Dawkins has continued to impress in a singles match in this particular case, too. He's really improved. One thing that really caught me was his selling. His selling is actually really, really good, especially for a big guy because, well, Damian Priest is a big guy, so you have to sell each other's stuff. And I thought Dawkins sold Priest's offense very well. And it's a nice change to have a heel look strong going over without having to do the proverbial ref distraction or you know, heel kind of gesture to get. He did it. He looked strong going into a big match, and I don't have a problem with it in this case.
Raj, I've been I've been guilty in the past of these accusations, but I think Angelo Dawkins has shed these accusations, and they are he has shed the concern and the accusations of being the Jannetty. I think he has stepped up, and I think this might be one of the rare cases where you get a tag team that when if and when they split, they will both equally have positive trajectories. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Montez, and I think everyone sees a potential superstar there. He's got the look, the athleticism, the charisma. But Angelo Dawkins, I feel like he has just improved probably more than anyone over the last year. He's just, you know, he's gotten into really good shape. His work has just improved so much. So I think he's kind of a sleeper almost because everyone, I think, kind of looks like at Montez. But I think Angelo Dawkins has been killing it. I thought he looked great tonight. And yeah, when that split happens, I mean, I think the natural thing would be Angelo being the babyface, Montez being the heel. But yeah, I think he's definitely not the Jannetty if given the right opportunity.
I'd almost, given how popular both of them seem to kind of be with their swagger and their personalities, this might be almost a situation we've seen kind of with New Day where don't do that old fashioned that somebody has to turn on the other one. Just let them kind of stay supportive of each other, but let one be on one brand and one be on the other so you can separate them. But maybe they could both be faces because I don't necessarily know if a heel turn would be, you know, heel turn might limit and put a ceiling on their charisma that they have that we see having right now. So. Dawkins not going to be in the Elimination Chamber United States title match, but still, as Rosh has had a big year, big improvement, and a lot to continue to watch there with him. Take a look. We got some super chats we will get to in a bit when we get to those topics. We'll highlight this one from Huffman Elite Training, $5 saying, I took my family to a WWE house show last night in Pensacola, Florida. Seth versus Cody main event, plus Bayley, Becky, Flair, Sheamus, Jimmy Uso, Braun Strowman. So I take it family had a good time, or else you wouldn't be paying us $5 to tell us.
Yeah, strong lineup, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm taking it. Cody won too, but yeah.
No, that's WWE doesn't need any video right now going around of Cody Rhodes taking any L's.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And these house shows, the attendance on these house shows, they've gone way up too. So, you know, talking about WWE being on a roll right now, and that spreads to the live event business too.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's fun. Sorry to cut you off there, Justin. It is fun watching on TV, absolutely. But there's something about going to see it live and getting that, you know, feeling that atmosphere in your bones and in your, you know, indescribable.
Yeah. Well, and again, going back to what we complimented earlier, obviously WWE has no shortage of TV time to work with. They have 5 hours a week, and then specifically with Mondays, the 3 hour show, which we all still agree 3 hours is long every week. But even shows like this tonight, it wasn't painful. They at least utilize the time and they flush out some stories that give you some background on people. So I think, again, doing that and being consistently seeing the stories play out, it makes it more worthwhile to get that more intimate experience at a house show versus in the past when those house shows would trot out a lot of people who you've maybe didn't even see on Raw, or if you did, they were chasing the 24/7 title. So just more to care about. So good to hear you and your family had a nice experience there. Chelsea Green's not having a nice experience.
Mm-hmm. And they did over 5,000 fans for that show last, wow. Last nice. Night. So for a live event, that's a really good number.
I mean, they were cutting and slashing live events like crazy before the pandemic. I mean, I think they were losing money with
the
live events. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was almost seeming like it was an outdated revenue stream, because they weren't profitable anymore. And now here they are, they're doing really well.
Are you? I haven't got to talk to you about this week. Jimmy and I talked a little bit last week. Are you surprised to see AEW starting to dip their toe into the live event house show waters?
I think a little bit, just because their attendance is down right now. So it feels like that would be something you'd want to do when business is hotter. But, I think AEW, they need to find new revenue streams. And so if they're hitting markets that they don't usually go to, like smaller markets, and having just a couple top guys at the show and then filling it up with some of the younger talent, it could be a good way to, have a new revenue stream coming in. So I definitely think it's a good idea to try it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and good on them not to pigeonhole themselves and promise that they're going to do X amount each week. They can kind of make their own moves.
You do like five or six and see what it's like. And if they're losing money, then cut down. But it seems.
Yeah, but like you said, Raj, when you do these live events / house shows, put a couple of named talents on there to draw some audience and utilize some of the talent that doesn't get used on television, and maybe because they're unfortunate, I don't want to say unfortunately, it's great that they're there and they're getting paid, but at the same time they're getting used. They need to be used in some form or fashion.
I mean, you have guys that you forget are there with the company, mm-hmm. because you just don't see them on TV that often, or they're on Dark and Elevation, but not on Dynamite. And mm-hmm. if they're not getting that Dynamite TV time, it's, it's kind of, you're not really getting the reps in. You're not going to grow as a star. So at least this gives them, more dates and opportunity to work.
Right.
Well, opportunity is all Chelsea Green wants. She wants to be part of Elimination Chamber. She wants the right kind of beverage and the snacks. I mean, how hard is this? She berates Adam Pearce and threatens to call his manager if she does not get what she wants. This is, of course, a continuation of what we saw last week. We'll get back. I had in my line, I'm kind of going linear. We'll get back to her, which we are going to get more Chelsea Green. I want to speak to the manager, so stay tuned there. But we'll comment more on Chelsea here in a bit. Up next, Baron Corbin versus Dexter Lumis. And all throughout the match, commentary noting how Baron Corbin, just the win-loss record has not been what you would think it'd be, having the wrestling god JBL there in his corner, and JBL visibly looking frustrated all through the match. Once again, Corbin's going to lose to Dexter Lumis, and not to mention he was only in the Rumble for 7 seconds or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then later on backstage, we're going to see JBL berating, just cutting down, verbally cutting down Corbin, saying, you're channel changing TV. My legacy is attached to you. This is a problem. You're nothing but a clown. I think he ended with, you can't polish a turd. So, Jimmy, you've been berated. You've been berated on the golf course by JBL. I don't know if you've ever been, I don't know if he ever called you a turd. But where do we go here? Because Baron Corbin's been one of those talents that he's just steadfast, a really good heel. Crowd doesn't ever really seem like they want to cheer him. What's the direction that we go if, in fact, JBL is truly going to split from Corbin?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's what happens next, and it's always about what happens next. And I don't know if the crowd really wants to cheer Baron Corbin or just want to see something different from Baron Corbin. It's clearly not working with this audience, him as a heel, even pairing him with JBL. JBL's getting all the heat. Corbin's not getting all the right kind of heat, let's put it that way. Maybe trying to have him turn on JBL whether he causes damage to the limousine, the horns, his cowboy hat, whatever the case may be, he does something to JBL to at least start that ball rolling and see what kind of reaction the crowd gives him. And if they start to respond in a positive manner, maybe it is time to turn on babyface.
Raj, it's been, I don't know how many weeks it's been, but it's been months at this point that JBL has been in the corner of Corbin. Do you think this is what they intended to do when they set out, or do you think that it just wasn't picking up the certain momentum they wanted. So this is their way to get out of it.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. I think, you know, they thought pairing them together might help get Corbin over, you know, to the next level. And it just didn't work out that way. I just felt like something just didn't click with their pairing. And like, I would forget that, you know, like JBL was his manager until you see him on TV. It was, it just didn't click. And I think Corbin, you know, he's got all the tools. He's, you know, he's got a good look, he's got size, he can talk, but, yeah, they're trying all these different things with him. And so far, I think the closest thing that came to clicking was when he was doing the bum ass Corbin stuff, when he had the mustard on his shirt and was broke, you know, like it was entertaining. But yeah, it definitely looks like that's the end of JBL and Corbin for the time being. And I think JBL is probably just off WWE TV for now.
Yeah. I'd love to figure out what the missing ingredient is, because I tend to agree. Corbin's got all the tools. He's athletic. I mean, despite being, again, not a favorite to like social media or whatever, but and he certainly gives it back to them. But I mean, he's got size, he's got athleticism, he can cut a promo. But you're right, it's kind of like, I still, even though if you follow his social, he likes high end food and good burp, whatever, like he likes fine things. But it's like, I still, when I look at him, I'm like, I don't look at you as the guy that's with the stock market mogul. You know, I still look at him more as the end of the world apocalyptic kind of assassin. So maybe it's just the backstories aren't there. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me almost of, this is a bad comparison, but it just reminded me of like Rockabilly and Honky Tonk Man.
Or Roddy Piper and
Sean O'Hare.
Sean O'Hare.
Oh yes.
You know, it just really oddball pairings.
Yeah, just that it just never, you don't see how it's going to click, and it doesn't. And yeah, even though they're paired with, you know, guys that are big names, it just, the chemistry is not there.
Maybe the assumption was that pairing him with someone like a JBL who just generates that heat would translate into heat for Baron Corbin, and it didn't. Like I right. said, it just felt like JBL was getting the heat that he's supposed to get, and Corbin didn't get any from osmosis, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, and I saw this in AEW as well, is when you do these pairings, when you get a manager, you don't want to have the manager be the star of the pairing. And I just felt like JBL is such a strong personality that he just kind of stole the scene anytime he was on, you know, when they would interview the two of them. And I just feel like that's not the right balance. You want someone that can enhance the talent but not overshadow them.
Yeah. So yeah, well, that this is certainly one that I'm actually really interested and intrigued to see what they follow up with next week, of what direction they do go in. Again, just a reminder, make sure if you are live in the chat, we appreciate it. You can do super chats. Please like, subscribe, comment on whatever platform you enjoy this podcast, live or archive. All of it is appreciated. It helps this podcast grow. Whatever you want to say on super chat, you can always throw it in there. Even these, this is from Ash saying, Raj, can you get Justin to work SmackDown as well, please.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm a Friday night delight.
Why give up your Friday nights?
Give up my Friday nights. That's nothing to it. Well, thank you, Ash, for the compliment. Up next, Brock Lesnar confirmed earlier today that he was going to be on Raw. See, this is, I mean, again, I like it. Brock comes out. You know, it's Cowboy Brock. He's got the crowd, you know, laughing with him. He's got the cowboy hat. He's talking about how Rumble was a sucky experience. Bobby Lashley eliminated him. He said he can't get Bobby out of his head. Bobby's distracting him from hunting. Bobby's distracting him from ice fishing. Bobby's distracting him from a good steak. Bobby's almost distracting him from being in bed with his wife after so many hours. Bobby Who is just bothering the beast, Brock Lesnar. And so here comes Bobby, who goes down the history of how he's gotten the better of Brock more often than not. Brock pulls out of his $5 jacket a multi-million-dollar contract to fight Bobby Lashley at Elimination Chamber. Bobby says he'll think it over, take it under advisement, to which the Beast responds with not one, but by request of the crowd, two F5s. We would later find out, I believe, in the night that they are going to have a contract signing for this next week. This is going to happen at Elimination Chamber. So, Raj, once again, Brock Lesnar's working Elimination Chamber match not for a title, not in the chamber, but in a grudge match against Bobby Lashley. I thought this might have been a long game to Mania, but they're giving it to you in Montreal at the chamber. Your reaction to this one?
It felt to me this is going to be this isn't going to be it. Like, it'll be, they'll have their match at Elimination Chamber. Lashley probably realigns with MVP. They help Lesnar get the win. Lashley get the win. And then you do a final, some sort of stipulation gimmick match at WrestleMania between Lesnar and Lashley. I thought Lesnar was great here. I think that's the first time he's ever even made a reference to Sable since ever on WWE TV, at least. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was great here. I think that second F5 was probably improv, just going, by the crowd. And you look at these two guys, and they're two guys that legitimately could beat up 99.9% of everyone in the world. You know, like, they're legitimately two of the toughest dudes on the planet. And I love stuff like this. So, I think it's great.
Raj, to your booking, and I think you're onto something there, especially if we see the Hurt Business come to Bobby's aid, is maybe that's a more appropriate Hell in a Cell match to keep Hurt Business out. And look at the subcontext of marketing of Brock versus Bobby, two guys who have real life fight experience inside of a cage, and then putting them in the imagery of inside of a cage at WrestleMania. Jimmy, I think that's something that can helps grab people's attention, especially from the mainstream, of these two guys.
No, it absolutely can. And I think Raj has been reading my notes, because I was thinking the same thing regarding the Hurt Business and MVP and that sort of thing. But at the same time, maybe it doesn't have to be a Hell in the Cell match. You don't have to go to those extremes. You just put a stipulation on it where you put in the contract that, let's say at Elimination Chamber, like you said, Hurt Business helps Bobby get past Brock Lesnar there. Then they have their rematch at WrestleMania. And one of the stipulations is, if Bobby beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, then Bobby will never set foot in a WWE ring again. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Or if Brock wins, then the Hurt Business can't interfere, because if they are out at ringside for any reason whatsoever, then they will be barred from the building, and Brock will be, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
The main step being that if Brock loses this match, then he will never appear in a WWE ring again, or something along those lines. I don't think it has to go to the extreme of having that visual of the Hell in a Cell.
Well, you could do, what was that? That fight match pit? Called that they did the fight pit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could always do a fight pit. And that would be, you got two legit heavyweights with winning records. Mm-hmm. A former UFC world champion and Lashley, who, won most of his fights.
And a special guest referee, you talk about 99.9%. You put someone as a special guest referee, that 0.1%, Haku.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say like Cain Velasquez, but yeah, Haku.
I was going to say like Ken Shamrock, who's another MMA name that fans recognize.
Right. Or Daniel Cormier.
Oh, there
you go. Interesting possibilities. I will say this, and it gives me hope under the Triple H booking. If in fact Lesnar and the Hurt Business and all would be a thing that he's combating with, I don't know, because you don't really have Lesnar ever work matches on Raw or SmackDown. You usually always save him. But I feel like, and I think they only teased it once at a Rumble a few years ago. I mean, if you have Shelton Benjamin there around in the same picture with Brock, and they acknowledge the history, they did later tonight on commentary during Shelton's match. It's just, I feel like there's just history there that you just have to tap into and give the fans, whether it's a match, whether it's a promo, whether it's, I don't know if it'd be too bloodline, like if you have even the hint of Shelton defecting, I don't know, and standing by his Minnesota brother. And yeah. I don't know, but I feel like you got to touch on Brock and Shelton if it's there, if they're in the same story, but that's just,
yeah.
I agreed.
Ash fantasy booking saying bring back the three stages.
maybe not. I don't know.
It's not like it's gonna be the main event of Mania, so I don't know if we need to go that far. All right, we get another elimination. No,
what would be, you know? Obviously you got Cody and Roman for night two, probably most likely, but what would be the night one main event?
Maybe you can do a Charlotte and Rhea main event night one.
Good.
Maybe that. I still think, I'm about to long book here. I still think that we're going to get like a Theory versus like a John Cena. I think that's something that you could hang your hat on a night. And then we don't know, depending on how this bloodline stuff shakes out, if Sami Zayn's not your world champion after Elimination Chamber, you know, what's there? I mean, I think, you know, him and Kevin Owens versus the Usos, you know, I mean, that's got so much richness behind it. You can make an argument that's the main event match.
So. It'll be the first time since WrestleMania 1 having a tag match, main event WrestleMania.
Indeed.
Wow.
So, and this, but hey, this is a great problem to have. I mean, I think we sat here this time, at this time last year, we pretty much knew, other than the Austin had not been confirmed, it was still being speculated. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we're usually at this point in the last couple of years, we know exactly what Mania is going to be, and there's only one road to take. But they have several. They have a you know, a roundabout with a couple detours of roads that they could take, which is tremendous.
You know, growing up, being such a big wrestling fan in the 90s, it's a kind of a bummer that Rock and Austin are not going to be wrestling at this year's Mania. But at the same time, it is the company in their hottest period in a while, and they're going with their current stars. So that is definitely a good thing. So.
That's what I said to Jimmy and Jack after Rumble was, you know, people were kind of like down that there wasn't all these great surprises and returns, but it's like, hasn't the complaint always been in the years that they've relied on that they relied too much and they didn't build current stars? Well, now they built Gunther, you know, they're building Rhea, they're building Montez Ford. It's like, you know, this is what we want.
To do a record breaking WrestleMania during record business without using any of the stars from the past, or Cena, but outside of that, I'd say that, you know, that's a huge feather in their cap, and that's telling that, you know, they're making new stars.
And not to get off topic here, but, you know, like Cody mentioned something in an interview recently where he said that WrestleMania this year doesn't need The Rock, and it wasn't meant to disrespect Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. It was meant to say that they have the talent to put on a hell of a show at WrestleMania, and they do. And I think we saw tonight that they're on their way to elevating that talent to a point where people want to see this show.
Yeah. I still think The Rock versus Roman is still one of those larger than life matches. I don't think it's going to happen. I feel like it didn't happen this year. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But outside of that, I agree. I think going with the current stars and that's something that they've been really guilty of not doing in the past.
It was nice to see that The Rock was in good enough shape to greet Adele at the Grammys.
did you see that?
I watched.
Yeah, she was losing it meeting The Rock. That was that was pretty cool.
Yeah. To be fair, he did say on the red carpet earlier that night that he Beyonce, Adele were some of the ones that he was going to be a little starstruck to see. So I guess, goes both ways.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. All right, we got a Women's Elimination Chamber qualify match. Fatal 4-ways. We got Piper Niven up against, I don't know what to, I'm calling her Mia Yim. They won't even stay consistent. I'm calling her Mia Yim. Mm-hmm. Piper versus Mia Yim versus Candice LeRae. Versus, for her first match in 8 months, Carmella Mella is back, and Mella is money. She gets the win. Mella, Carmella advances to the Elimination Chamber match when the winner is going to get to have a title match against Bianca Belair at Mania. So that rounds out the chamber for the women. It is Carmella, it is Asuka, it is Raquel Rodriguez, it is Liv Morgan, it is Nikki Cross, and it is Natalya. Jimmy, I mean, that's a pretty big comeback. First night back on TV, and she beats three other women in one match. You got to put her as a possible she's definitely got to be some consideration to win this chamber match.
No, of course she's consideration because, as you said, Mella is money. And I like the way that this was set up. Obviously, you know, Piper Niven, thank God we can call her that again. Piper Niven looked very dominant and like she should in this match. And it was interesting. I love the way they did the finish to get Carmella over because it's a fatal four-way, so you only have to pin one member. You don't have to – it's not an elimination-style match. So Piper did all the damage, and Carmella took advantage of the damage that she did to win the match. And that's one of the things I liked about this. And, yes, you can make a case for her in this Elimination Chamber match, but also you're looking at the other participants and you're saying, I don't know. When you talk about elevating talent, I know we haven't asked who you think, but if you're talking about elevating current younger talent, maybe Raquel Rodriguez is someone to look at. And I know Liv Morgan has been talked about as a possible, you know, winner as well. But hey, if there's a time to elevate someone new, this is the time.
Yeah, I think. I do like the idea of a Asuka Bianca Belair WrestleMania match. I just feel like that would be really good. But you know, kind of to your point, if you really want to take a new star that hasn't had that big WrestleMania match yet, I could see Raquel being put in that spot. But yeah, I thought, I think I'd like to see Asuka personally. I think she's she's just been, you know, on fire since she came back. And I think her and Bianca would just be, they could tear the house down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they definitely would. The only thing is, I see both of them as kind of baby faces right now. So it's again, that situation where who do I cheer for? Who do I want to see win? Because I like them both.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, if Mella is money, Dewdrop was duty, but, as Piper Niven, it feels like even just going back to her name, what a fresh coat. And if it, you know, just the things we get to see her do in the ring, It's nice to feel like she's got her normal name, Piper Niven, and it's nice to see, you know, a bigger female talent who obviously is not the stereotypical look that WWE usually has their female talents molded around. It's nice to see a bigger female talent taken seriously, not a joke of a name, not a joke of behavior, not a joke about her appearance, but just that she's in there and she was a badass. And I thought that was a refreshing takeaway in this match here.
Right.
Absolutely. And not having to say Dewdrop again is, you know, one of the greatest things since Triple H, you know, with the Triple H regime. And also not having the almost a superhero stuff with Nikki Ash. So I think a couple, you know, you're seeing a lot of really big improvements. And those are two of the big ones.
Right.
Yeah. And we'll see some of these ladies again here in a little bit as the show goes on. But up next, it is tag team action, the Alpha Academy versus Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, who are out there with MVP. We did see them in the background at a backstage area. So it looks like MVP is resurrecting at least, again, some portion of the Hurt Business, as we mentioned earlier. If they align themselves again with Bobby, time will tell. But it's certainly up their stock tonight because Cedric Alexander got the pin on Gable. So this Alexander-Benjamin team got a much-needed victory on television against a, you know, pretty well-established, pretty much on TV every single week, Alpha Academy. Jimmy, I was a little surprised with this. I gotta admit, I didn't see Cedric Alexander get a pin on Gable happening on Raw tonight.
Well, here's the thing. Like you said, here's an established team like the Alpha Academy, but when was the last time you saw them actually defeat another team? I think sooner or later down the line, this is you use them to help get other teams over, and they're great at doing it. Don't get me wrong. Chad Gable is awesome in the ring, and Otis, you know, is filling his role well as well. But this team needs a big victory to feel more as an established team. It's almost like they are, I hate to use this term, man, because I like the team, glorified enhancement talent. They're just there to make other teams look good, and they're good at doing it, and they do. And Chad Gable is just tremendous, you know. There's a guy who I think could branch off into a singles career and be a big star. But I just want to see more from them.
Yeah, Raj, has Alpha Academy ran its course?
I was just kind of looking that up. I don't think they've won a match on Raw since, like, at least since last summer. Mm-hmm. So, kind of to Jimmy's point, like, it's they've kind of become enhancement talent, and they're really good. And so it'd be good to see them being utilized in different ways. I don't know. They did that tease with Otis and Maximum Male Models or whatever last week. Mm-hmm. So I could see them thinking that'll be something amusing. But I think it has run its course. I don't know where you go from here. They're always entertaining when they're out, but I think the fans just see them a certain way, and that's going to be hard to overturn at this point. Mm-hmm.
I think let them finish out the Road to Mania, you know, put them in whatever entertaining spots you can, or if, as Jimmy says, even if it means having to let them take some L's for some other acts that need more immediate wins. But I'd say, you know, that night after Mania, that week after Mania, when the WWE calendar resets, Chad Gable as a credible single star would be up there in my projects, because he's there. Because we've talked about it before. I think we all see it. He's got this marriage blend of Kurt Angle and Owen Hart in his presentation and his abilities. Yeah.
And Otis, I think people forget, he was really kind of on the course to become a big single star. And then COVID happened. You know, he had that storyline with Mandy Rose. And then, you know, the pandemic happened. They never really got to go through with it. But he was super over there for a while.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Big win there again for Alexander and Benjamin. Backstage, The Miz, he gets approached by Rick Boogs, who was touting his victory against The Miz last week. Miz going on and on about how if he was properly dressed and had time to prepare, that wouldn't happen. But Adam Pearce is too big of an idiot, blah, 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 blah. Continues to run down Pearce, who is standing right behind him. And the match gets made for next week. Miz will have plenty of time to get prepared and dressed for a match against Boogs. This feels to me, Raj, like Rick Boogs might be moving his way in to be the replacement for the goofy comedy face that Matt Riddle has abandoned for the time being because of personal issues.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Boogs, first of all, I think he needs a different last name. I don't know how you go
with no, it's changing Boogs. That.
Yeah. But man, he is just massive. He's like, he's got that like 80s physique, like Don Morocco and Jim Powers and like those guys back then that were just so thick. And he's a huge dude. And he just seems like someone that being sidelined with the comedy gimmick, it's only going to take you so far. And I feel like he could probably do more.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, what's your thought on Boogs?
You talked earlier about Corbin, something missing. There's something missing with Boogs, and I don't want to start calling him the Booger because that might end up on a t-shirt one day. And I don't know. It's just,
pal.
See, and that's, you know, like Raj put it good. You know, he mentioned guys like Morocco and stuff like that. Morocco was, you know, he was that thick guy that he was just a powerhouse and just beat people up, and he didn't have to do that comedy stuff. You know, I don't know. It just, there's something there that's not clicking with me. There's something missing there.
Edward Cousin says thick Rick. He said it tonight. Huh? Thick Rick. Bernie says, Bernie says they resurrected Freddie Mercury in the Ultimate Warrior's body. That's a hell of a compliment, actually.
I was thinking Dan Severin, but yeah, I could see Freddie Mercury for sure.
Hopefully nobody from the merch department at WWE heard me say the Booger, because that'll end up on a t-shirt next week.
He's going to be coming after you, Jimmy, if that happens.
Kayfabe Pumpkinhead.
All right, so tune in next week to see Boogs versus The Miz. Yeah. All right, so Chelsea, I call the manager Green. She gets out to the ring. She wants an opponent. Adam Pearce has found one, and it is Asuka. It should be noted that as this match is going on, Chelsea does get a little bit of offense to start, but as this match is going on, all the different ladies that are going to be involved also in the chamber are out there kind of surrounding the ring. So Chelsea's kind of showing off and talking smack to them, forgetting she's in the ring with Asuka, who then slaps her into an armbar. And that is that. Asuka gets the win Thank you, Chelsea. Overall, I was going to say, I think the character's fun. I mean, it's a very kind of topical character. I tweeted this. I could just try to imagine if we did this 8 months ago, would you want to be the writer that has to try to explain and pitch what a Karen is to Vince? And then it just goes, well, goddamn, pal, just call her Karen.
Yeah, that it's better it's being left in these hands. But I think Chelsea is fantastic in this role. She doesn't come across like she's acting, and I think that's one of the biggest things with the character, when it feels like a natural, where it doesn't feel like you're playing a character, and she was just a natural here. So I think she's onto something. I mean, I don't know if it's a main event thing, but she's really good in this role, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, Jimmy, this is entertaining. I agree. This can't be her career forever, but it's a launching point to get her on TV and get people familiar with her before she evolves into something else.
Right, and she's getting people invested in her in a negative way, but she's getting heat. And, you know, especially, like, again, we talk about this all the time in today's day and age, having a heel getting natural heel heat as opposed to being a cool heel, you know, where people go, you know, I like them being a heel. You know, this is kind of like you said, Raj, it feels natural. It feels like she's being, what's the term? Karen? I feel a swatter touch right now. Anyway, yeah. But it's working for her. It is awesome. And again, one of those situations where I see where it goes next.
Right.
Yeah. We'll use this since I think this is like the last time. Oh, no, it's not. Well, we'll use this time right now to talk about potential women's tags based upon this super chat here from Michael Martinez, $4.99. He said, who would you want to see challenge for the women's tag belts, assuming we get one at WrestleMania? I feel like the women's tag, I mean, there's a lot of good stories that's been going on, and consistency as we talked about, but I feel like that's one that it's almost like it's not necessarily room or time or care for the women's tag consistently right now. So I don't even really have an answer of that even being something of worth right now.
Yeah, it's almost like at the point where now you're just going to have to find two women, put them together. It almost feels like randomly put them together to face. Man, you're right, Justin. It is a tough call right now.
Yeah, the plan right now is for Ronda and Shayna to face Io and Dakota, Io Sky and Dakota Kai. I just feel like Ronda is still a big name. I'd rather see her in a singles match against someone and put someone over, like a Bianca. Obviously, it doesn't seem like they're heading down that road, but I just feel like a singles win over Ronda at WrestleMania means more than them winning the tag titles. So, but that is the current plan, is for Ronda and Shayna against Dakota Kai and Io Sky.
All right, we're getting ready to get into a highly talked about part of this Raw. So again, just a reminder, if you've joined us live somewhere in a bit, we appreciate it. You can always check out the rest of what you miss once this archives. Please leave a rating, leave a nice comment. It does a lot of things for the podcast. All right. I got to move the notepad here closer because this is dialogue I got to get out here. Cody Rhodes comes out to the ring, cut a promo, and he immediately acknowledges the Sami Zayn elephant in the room, meaning that Cody Rhodes is planning to challenge for the world title at WrestleMania. Right now, that's against Roman Reigns, but he acknowledges that Sami Zayn is kicking up dust and causing problems, that right now it looks like maybe he's going to be facing Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. So he immediately acknowledges that, then is interrupted by Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman says congrats to Cody for his Rumble return and win. Cody then tells a story about how he has immense respect for Paul Heyman. He basically tells a story about how back in 2000, his family was broke. His dad's doing local car commercials just to hold on to the car. Dad's really down and out. But then he gets a call from Heyman. ECW's coming to town, and Paul offers to pay Dusty a nice payday to come and do an appearance at an ECW show. Paul kept his word, and that also gave Dusty some confidence back. Cody acknowledges how he was just at a previous place, and so from one disruptor to another, thank you very much. Paul then begins to tell a story saying, you know, Cody, you know, as much as I love you, you've never been prepped for this. You've never been prepped. And what about your dad? Your dad trained right down the road to the Performance Center. He prepped and trained Seth Rollins, Becky, Bayley, KO, Roman Reigns. He prepped them all for the big spotlight that is WrestleMania main event. He never prepped you. And Paul's final parting words were the last conversation he had with Dusty Rhodes. Dusty said to him, "Cody's my favorite son, but Roman Reigns is the son I wish I had." To which Cody, enraged, says, "I'm just trying to win a title, but you've made it personal. And at Mania, I'm personally going to take the titles off of Roman Reigns." Jimmy, just this is why you got to be watching the video, folks. Jimmy just did the mic drop. Jimmy, I'll leave it to you. Go ahead.
No, man, what a line to close with from Paul Heyman. And Cody did something in his retaliation to that line that he didn't do in his promo last week after he had won the Royal Rumble. He didn't say that he was going to defeat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. He said that that Roman would not leave with the titles, but he never said that he would be the one to take the titles away from him. Tonight, he said that he will take those titles away from Roman Reigns. So that's the interesting thing. The only thing you could kind of nitpick about during this segment, it was so darn good. Now I want so much to see this match at WrestleMania between him and it kind of takes away from the match coming up at Elimination Chamber between Sammy and Roman, and having the idea that, hey, maybe Sammy's got a shot here. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of conflicting, so to speak. Great promo. Don't get me. It was awesome. I loved it. I really want to see this, but it also we're heading into Elimination Chamber, and it's not making me think about Sami Zayn right now.
And I think
I was gonna say, should they have held? Should this have been what they do the night after, like the Monday after Chamber, when there's no distraction of Sami Zayn?
I mean, you know, it's almost hard to kind of sit here and be like, they shouldn't have done this tonight, because I do have a lot more faith in this booking team and where they're going with the story. So I'm assuming that there's a reason why they did it this early. Jimmy, to your point, I think when Cody said it might be me and Sammy at WrestleMania, the crowd was like, no, it's not going to be. no one, you could tell they weren't buying that. I think it's not necessarily a bad thing that the WrestleMania match is overshadowing Elimination Chamber, even though that's the next pay-per-view coming up, because ultimately that's your big show. That's the huge stage. So you want that. I like that they're getting the stuff going already for WrestleMania, as opposed to waiting until after Elimination Chamber. So I thought this segment was fantastic. You know, up until now with Sammy, it just seems like the crowd, when you heard the reaction on SmackDown this last Friday night, it just feels like the crowd is probably going to be more into Sammy versus Roman. And then I thought tonight completely changed my mind. And it's like, no, yeah, Cody versus Roman is definitely the right way to go. And I always got why they were going with Cody and Roman. It's more the traditional, what you expect a WrestleMania match to look like, two superstar looking guys, wrestling in the main event. So definitely got it. And then I thought the angle tonight was they just nailed it out of the park. Paul Heyman legitimately looked like he was about to break down crying. I just thought the back and forth was just so good. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how the Bloodline story and the way it unfolded at the end of Rumble, how it's Emmy. You know, Michael Cole said it should get an Emmy, and a lot of fun things on social media about how cinematic it is and putting it to Scorsese scores and what have you. I think this was a piece of work here. This was something to nominate. I mean, I know the year is young, but I think this might go down as being an argument for a promo exchange of the year between these two. Of the emotions, of the suspense, of the drama, of the, you know, Paul Heyman put over Cody Rhodes as $1 million, while at the same time casting doubt by citing facts of you've never been in a Mania main event, and then drawing to real life, your father helped prep your opponent. I mean, it's just some masterful stuff here of taking real life but blurring the lines.
That's the beauty of it. You talk about it got very personal, and sometimes when you peel back the fourth wall or peel back the curtain a little bit and you try to go in that direction to give people a little bit of insight on what happened behind the scenes, so to speak. It takes a left turn and not a good one. This one, it was a perfect balance of that nice little peek behind the curtain, that little peek behind that fourth wall, and bringing some realism and some real life and some real emotion. Because you saw it in Cody's face, you saw it in Paul's face. They got very emotional. Either that or their Oscar-winning performances, one or the other. But I think the emotion that we felt from them was genuine tonight.
And one of the best things I thought about it was when Paul did drop that line about he wanted Roman Reigns as his son, or he always wanted a son like Roman Reigns. Cody didn't like fly off the handle. It wasn't like an unrealistic over the top reaction. It was subtle. It was like he's pissed, but he's holding, keeping it together. And it was just, I thought Cody just did a masterful job there, just with selling it, not going over the top, making it feel more realistic and just hit that much more. So I thought, kudos. I think Cody, I think Cody was great. You know, I mentioned over the weekend something that got a lot of heat by some, but you want to be careful about doing the over the top, kissing up to the crowd babyface promos, because at some point, whether it takes months and months and months, at some point you could start getting some backlash, and I don't think Cody is doing that. I thought he was perfect here. So
absolutely,
Take a look at some super chats. I've been waiting for this topic. Bigfoot Sneakerhead, $4.99. Thank you. Said what a promo by Paul Heyman and Cody, just magic.
Yep.
I think we all agree to that.
I've always said, for me, stories and characters are what really got me into wrestling, and it's the biggest thing I'm into. And this is just nailing it out of the park. This is the kind of stuff I really dig, and it's awesome.
Yep. And it's this kind of stuff that, it was, again, it's a long way to Mania, but. Actually, it's better even to use Sammy as an example. It's like, Sammy and Roman, or even down to Cody and Roman, when you just can't wait to see them actually get their hands on each other, when that tension is that palpable, that, screw having to go out and do a whole lot of moves real quick. Just that tension of seeing the two of them in the same 20x20 ring. Dylan Matthews, super chat, Heyman joins Cody to write off Roman after Mania.
Cody's hot as a babyface.
Unless
there's a reason to turn him heel, you keep him as a babyface. They haven't had a top babyface in a long time, so I'll say this about Sammy too. I think we all know that Sammy's not winning at Elimination Chamber, but I am excited for that match. Just seeing what that reaction is going to be like in Montreal, and it's going to be nuts. It's going to be really fun. See what they do with Jay and everything.
Go ahead, Jess.
No, I was just going to ask us both. Like to that point, now that Cody kind of mentioned Sammy tonight, and they chose to do this promo tonight with Cody and Paul, still 2 weeks ahead of the Chamber, do you keep Cody as far away? Do you not even have Cody appear at Chamber, not in a skybox, not in a whatever? Or is there some value to, if things get out of control and it looks like they're about to, kill Sami Zayn and the story, is there value to having Cody's, even his music hit, just to be a presence? Where's the fine line of Cody's involvement at this point with this other story?
Well, if it's leading, sorry if I cut you off there, Rush. If it's leading down the line to WrestleMania, where it's going to be Sammy and KO versus Jimmy and Jay for the tag titles, with KO coming out, let's say, to help make the save if Sammy gets outnumbered by the Bloodline, somebody else needs to have to come out. And if you're in Montreal and you come out to help KO and Sammy, and it's Cody, he's going to get that positive reaction that you want to get on Cody. You know what I mean? So maybe that's a way to go to get the babyface heat on Cody, so to speak.
I personally think you keep him apart, just because I feel like in the past when you've seen like them try to use Roman and transferring Daniel Bryan's goodwill to Roman, it just doesn't work out. And I just feel like it would work out best if you just kept it separate. And it doesn't look like Cody is trying to get some of that Sammy dust, I guess. I mean, and he has his own his own thing. So I think you keep the Sammy Owens Uso stuff, you know, separate, keep Cody out of it. And then you go straight to Cody and Roman. And I, you know, after seeing the segment tonight, I'm like, man, the first time they do that Cody Roman face-to-face, it's going to be electric.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right, Roger. We have seen it. And it's like, yeah, it's like if everybody wants to see Sammy kind of as that, you know, that underdog, you know, if he comes up short, but then here's the guy Cody who does get to go to the big dance, it might fuel some jealousy or some spite out of the crowd. So even if he's not warranted it. Mm-hmm. So hell of a promo, hell of a segment tonight.
At the end of the day, like you guys said, it was gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of things.
Look, I'm gonna watch it again. Real quick.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's what, and I don't say that often about a lot of segments these days, but I want to go back again to feel the emotions and look at the facial expressions. Yeah. I'm sure I'll catch things that I didn't catch live as I'm, you know, voraciously writing notes here.
Yeah, that was the promo version of a twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splash.
Yeah, but it's funny because I rarely watch matches again, like a second time, but I watched that Sammy Roman Royal Rumble segment again, and like lately it's just been like these promos and segments that has me watching it more than once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you catch things the second time. And Jimmy, this was not a promo example of 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag. They let everything breathe. Everything got its you know,
exactly.
All right, we will close the book on for the moment on that one. I will go back to Super Chat that came in regarding the women's tag titles, and I don't know if I'm Kelvin saying he's mentioning that the girls in NXT just lost their tag titles. They're established with the team, a ton of chemistry. There's such a fraction of the audience that's watching NXT that's not going to quite do it for Mania 6 weeks away.
No, there needs to be a lot more build for them than that.
And you see that with when they're bringing in a lot of these NXT stars up, and it's just like silence from the crowd. It's not. It's interesting because NXT 2.0, they have way more eyeballs on it than the, you know, pre-USA version of NXT. But when those stars would come up, they'd get huge reactions, like Paige or Charlotte or, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, Nakamura. And granted, you know, a lot of them had were stars before NXT, but still, they would get the big reactions. And the current NXT stars that pop up aren't really. I mean, that Dexter Lumis match was dead. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we sometimes overestimate. Yeah, just how many the Raw and SmackDown fans know these NXT guys.
Yeah, or in years past, they get the big reaction, whether it's because they had a name somewhere else or whatever, or it's a big reaction night after Mania because it is a very clued in, smart, dedicated fan who travels around the world to watch this. But then you move to the next city the week after, you go to, you know, you go to wherever, and it's like they don't have that's not the same.
Yeah, I really feel like with a lot of these NXT talents, they should do more vignettes, you know, like building up their, you know, not obviously you don't want to do the same thing for everyone, but someone like a Dexter Lumis could have used some vignettes to kind of introduce that character. Because if you don't, if you're not familiar with that character already, it just seems weird. It's like, why is he not talking? Why is he not, you know, like,
why is he hanging out with white meat babyface Johnny Gargano? That's a confusing thing when you see this guy who looks like he's a serial killer.
And it's been a few weeks, and yet we still have no idea why.
Right. Yeah. It's been months, and we have no idea why.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess we're still relying on that Dexter's loyal to Johnny because Johnny, you know, exposed how Dexter was being exploited monetarily by The Miz, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they took those. They took the recovered funds to some of the JBL Corbin poker games. So
right
there, you go.
I just solved all the world's problems. All right, Montez Ford versus Elias, Elimination Chamber qualifying match. Montez Ford, crazy aerial skills. He does a dive where he runs corner to corner, jumps over the turnbuckle to the outside. Makes me just think about. He wins the match, by the way. Makes me then think about what he could do inside of a chamber, given those obstacles. So your Elimination Chamber match that is going to be for the United States Championship. Champion Austin Theory was on commentary during the whole time. Mm-hmm. Your chamber match for the title is your defending champ, Austin Theory versus Montez Ford, Bronson Reed, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins. Raj, I'm going to be honest. Reading off the names I just did, I'm going to say either they go on a real wild card of a new heel like a Bronson Reed, but I'm going to go more probability. I think somebody like a Montez Ford. I think Montez might be in line to get a big moment to win this mid-card title.
Yeah, I think Montez, it just feels like the timing just almost feels like it's his time. Everything's been clicking. He's got the look. He's got the charisma. You know, back in the day, I think, with Vince, I mean, he might have been too skinny, but that's not the case anymore. He's really, clearly been spending tons of time in the gym. And that hasn't affected his high flying. He's still able to, do all these moves in the air and with ease. So I could definitely see the case for Montez winning this and kind of moving on to that next star for sure.
And Jimmy on commentary theory, they even asked theory like, Montez versus Elias. And, he's like, I've never been in the ring with Elias. And then he started rooting for Elias. And then almost looked scared staring down Montez as Montez celebrated and pointed at his title. So it almost kind of gave that vibe of like, theory knows this is the one guy that really could take it from him in the chamber. So I don't know. It's to me kind of maybe foreshadowed that Montez Ford is soon to be your new U.S. champ.
It's those nice little subtle. Oh, sorry, Raj.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's those nice little subtleties that we got from Austin Theory that even elevated Austin Theory that much more, because like you said, it was like, he seems to be a little bit nervous about facing this, facing a Montez Ford or having him in that Elimination Chamber match. And when you talk about aerial skills, you talked about that run from corner to corner and diving over that. I know you've seen guys dive over the top rope, but that is doubly as difficult than anything.
And he holds a Superman pose. While
that is great.
Exactly. But he's going to be the guy that pulls off the one memorable maneuver. Like, what does everybody remember from the Elimination Chamber match, the mid-air collision between Logan Paul and Ricochet?
Rumble, yeah,
at the Rumble. Yeah. I think Montez Ford is going to be that memorable moment in the Elimination Chamber. And like you said, possibly also two memorable moments, one having the move of the night and also having a U.S. title victory.
Yeah, my only thing is I don't know if you beat Austin Theory right now, just because if he is going to have the big match with Cena, I almost feel like you don't want to beat him before that. So,
but isn't this the best way to beat him when he gets beat by five of the people? He's not even involved in the pinfall because he's with five of the people.
It's kind of like with Ray right now. They had him beat Karrion Kross. I feel like when you're on this a big match at WrestleMania, I don't know. I almost feel like you shouldn't be losing. And I feel like it's not going to make a difference to with box office having Theory versus Cena being for the U.S. title or not, but I do think you want Austin Theory to be the strongest, booked heading into that match, because that's one of your top matches.
Yeah, and that's all on the assumption of my long term booking. I said earlier of Theory versus Cena, if Cena in fact is a part of
it. It definitely seems like that's what they're doing. So,
yeah, the seeds have been planted.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at them, I mean, it just looks like it's John Cena 20 years younger, and it's just there's, and to do it in LA where Cena's now departed to being, primarily. I mean, there's just so many things that kind of fit.
Right. But it's almost like an evolution shirt with if you had the two of them,
All right. Main event time, cage match. This is, of course, the make good for the proper match that did not get to take place on the Raw 30. Due to time constraints, it is Becky Lynch up against Bayley in this cage. We're going to see Dakota Kai at one point. She's going to sneaking at the crutch in the cage. We're going to see Io Sky scaling up the cage. All of this to try to prevent Becky from the win. And Becky, outnumbered, has a card to play. And the card to play is a friend in Lita. Lita's music hits. And she comes out, takes out Kai and Sky. And then slams the door, the cage door, onto Bayley, which leads to Becky getting the pin on Bayley, and then Becky and Lita stand tall. Jimmy, this was a big way to finish, having a Hall of Famer in Lita there. I you and I were joking about. We saw people on social media complaining about why Lita. This is random, but I mean, you know, Becky did say in a promo earlier in the night that, you know, she might have a card to play and she might, you know, to take on all three of these ladies, essentially. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction to how they decided to go with this and having Lita be the surprise factor?
I was pleasantly surprised because it wasn't leaked out there. It was one of those deals where they kept it under their hats and it worked because it got the reaction. You saw the crowd pop, but at the same time we're going, oh, is it really Lita? Even I said to myself, is Lita really coming out? And it works. And like you said, now we're trying to figure out what is, you know, you said that Becky said she had a card to play. Okay, what is the relationship between her and Lita? Why was it Lita? Now, again, I talked earlier about wanting to tune in to find out why, you know? So you want to tune in and find out from Becky Lynch, why was it Lita? How did you and Lita become, you know, you and the Hall of Famer, you know, get together and so to speak, and how did you convince her to come in and help you and be your, you know, your guardian angel, so to speak, or your dream assist as Corey Graves called it.
Raj, you okay with the surprise appearance of Lita helping Becky to the win?
Yeah,
certainly. By the way, this certainly feels like this is something they're able to do tonight. I don't think this would have been the plan had the match took place at Raw 30. I mean, it might be wrong, but, you know, so kind of a blessing that they got to push this match to be a standalone main event tonight.
Yeah, and it got its time, and so ultimately it probably worked out for the best. I thought Lita was a great surprise because kind of like what Jimmy said, no one was really expecting it. It wasn't out there. And I just felt like it added to the match and it made the match feel bigger without taking away from Becky's win at the same time. I didn't feel like at the end Lita overshadowed Becky. Mm. And it'll be interesting to see, like, was this a one-night cameo? I mean, there's no real hints at what Becky's going to be doing at Mania. Like, is it going to be Becky and Lita against Bayley and someone else, or
Well, look at the chat here. But Bernie in DC says mutual respect from their title match in Saudi. Baby Ice says Lita, Becky, and Trish versus Damage Control in Montreal. I would actually even say you could push that to Mania if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, again, the plan is for it to be Ronda and Shayna, but that would be something huge.
Fernando Perez holding on to the super chat, saying Becky and Lita for the tag titles of Mania. So interesting there. If I don't know what Becky or what Lita's schedule is, this one came in earlier. Mia Lee saying Lita made my night. Oh my God, give her and Becky the tag belts. Then they can face Shayna and Ronda at Mania. If Lita looks amazing, my absolute favorite. So, you know, to the topic earlier about the tag titles in the women's division, kind of at a void of challengers, people have now just because of this main event drummed up that Becky and Lita could be a viable tag team. I mean, they have, you know, both red hair. They both have kind of they're not the norm. They are the kind of the alternative star. They have some parallels.
And kind of what you said earlier, Justin, with just the tag titles have kind of felt like they've been on ice, and that would be a good way to kind of heat those up again. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I want to ask you this.
I don't think they're going to change the plans, but that would be that would be a good way to heat things up again.
Right.
We'll see. Jimmy, I wanted to ask you this because I've always kind of always curious, and you're the referee, so you're the perfect person to ask. This match, if one of them would have escaped, they would have won. Mm-hmm. But also, pinfalls and submissions were good, as we saw. The match ended on the pinfall. What is your take on? It seemed like they changed the rules based upon convenience. Like if the finish is easier to do in the ring with the pinfall submission, then we allow the ref to be in there. If this is one that has to be centered around escape, then that's the only way to win. What's your take as a ref on bending the cage stipulation?
I would rather it be a standard rule, and then you occasionally have it where the only way to win this cage match is to escape the cage, or, you know, like, or have or take away that stipulation altogether. Because the original cage match was centered around, hey, we're keeping everybody out and keeping these two participants in. The match needs to be won inside the cage via pinfall or submission, and it can't be in the ropes or against the cage or anything like that. It has to be in that, like, basically in the center of the ring. So the original concept of the cage match was to keep everybody out and keep the participants in, and not opening the door, so to speak, until there was a winner. That's almost the way I want to see it now. You know what I mean? And take away that. I know why they added that stipulation where escaping the cage, because it kind of helps someone's rep, so to speak. They could lose the match without losing any steam, so to speak, because they didn't get pinned and they didn't submit. So I almost wish that they would go back to old school in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Just it like Raj, I feel like there are some stories though where it really, like, I always, when I think about a cage escapes, like I think to SummerSlam 94 with Bret and Owen, I feel like what a perfect situation that was, right? We'd already seen Owen surprisingly beat Bret at Mania that year, like, but Owen had done such dastardly things, and you have all the Hart family and players and members keep all of them out, but now Owen's locked and has to, in the cage, has to face off his brother. Like, I kind of like the thought of, like, okay, you got to escape if you want to survive this. No more pinfall submissions. You got to escape. But then at other points, I get what Jimmy's saying, whereas the origin of the cage is just to keep everybody out and just settle it in the ring. I don't know. I always get torn when they throw the rules around here.
Yeah, I see both your points. I think if you want to do a cage match with no escape, you kind of have that with Hell in a Cell. You know, and so yeah. You got the top covered. I mean, that in theory, that's and you know, I grew up on Escaping the Cage and Hogan and Orndorff on Saturday Night's Main mm-hmm. Event, where that drama and they both get out at the same time. You know, like I used to, and Hogan and Boss Man on Saturday Night's Main Event, where you're just, you know, one guy's going for the door, the other guy's, you know, climbing out, and just I'm just used to that drama. But I do totally get, like, if. Mm-hmm. The cage match is supposed to be the final thing. It should be, you know, settled in the ring. I get that too. But I think because I grew up on the escape, that I see how that you could add a lot of drama with those.
Yeah. Rest in peace, the classic blue cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And let me put it to you this way. That blue cage was a lot heavier than the chain link. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, that hurt way worse than even the Hell in the Cell.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think Jimmy might be talking about, like, you're setting it up, but I think when he hit it, that thing, you know, at least the chain cage moves a little bit.
Gives a little. Those blue bars didn't give at all.
Were the blue bars to make it easy for Hogan to climb? Was that the reason?
To make it easier to climb. I don't want to point a finger at Hogan directly. but it was made to climb the cage easier.
Was it aesthetic too? Because, you know, watching on TV with the chain link, it can be kind of hard to see.
And you can also, the handheld cameras at ringside can actually kind of shoot inside one of the squares.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
That was actually one of the things I loved about Hell in a Cell, was that it gave room to put more production inside of it. Because I always thought that growing up, you know, WCW touted them, they touted themselves on their super brawls and all the things mm-hmm. in their cage gimmicks, but the chain link fence, I'm like, this is not good TV. It's hard to see.
Right.
Yeah. And granted, production wasn't great in the late 80s compared mm-hmm. to what it is now. So I always thought that mm-hmm. that was the advantage of the blue cage, was more visibility.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been to a UFC event before or Bellator, or what, but when you're, like, right in front of the cage, it's kind of hard to see. It's like you almost want to be up a little. So you're like looking down, you know, over the cage onto the mat. So, yeah.
No, I agree with that. I agree. All right. Well, that was Monday Night Raw. And again, a lot of headlines to take away from it, a lot of stories, a lot of things, as we are only now one more Raw removed from Elimination Chamber, which, you know, again, as I teased at the beginning, and I think we fulfilled talking about it, is a pretty stacked chamber card with a lot at stake mm-hmm. across the board, title or otherwise. Appreciate all the super chats tonight. That's been great. Again, if you can leave a comment on whatever platform you like to take in the podcast, if you like, I always ask, Pete, please tweet me, tweet any of us. Tell us where in the world, Carmen San Diego, you are. How do you listen to this podcast? Are you procrastinating work? Are you ignoring your boss? Are you cleaning the house? Are you cooking? Are you whatever? What are you doing? How are we getting you through the day? Love to hear it. Let's get some cheap plugs in. Raj, you go first.
Just follow me on Twitter, The Raj Geary. Me and, you know, Jack, we do these finance podcasts every now and then. So check that out at youtube.com/@practicalmoney. It's called Practical Money. And, you know, the last one we did, we're talking about just easy stuff, just, you know, investing in index funds and how to do it. And if you've never done it before, you can see, you know, step by step how you go about doing that. So just check it out if you have free time.
Don't be a bum ass Corbin. Go get some practical money.
There you go.
From Raj and Jack. Jimmy, plug it up.
Well, you can catch me on all my social media platforms doing my ref and rants from Wednesday to Friday, having a little fun with that. They're short, they're a minute long, and that's all they're supposed to be. And they're not to tear down, they're to critique and help build up. And also you can catch me here on Monday nights and Wednesday nights. Monday's talking about Raw, Wednesday's talking about Dynamite. And you can also catch me talking to my good brother in stripes, with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, on the Refin' It Up podcast as well.
Very good. Very good. Definitely worth checking out. I'm at Justin LaBar across the socials. Be back Wednesday with Jimmy and Issa after AEW. And of course, Friday mornings, Channel 156, myself, Dave LaGreca, and Thunder Rosa on Busted Open. Lots going on. Again, make sure you check out the, any bit of the podcast you missed. Share it. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. You tell one person, they tell two, so on and so forth. Appreciate you guys staying up, for all of you live in the chat. We greatly appreciate the support and loyalty and all the kind words that you guys spread around in the community about this podcast. That's going to do it. This podcast will be back tomorrow night after NXT. Until then, be good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.